Hello and welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is not safe for work. We are teachers who are tired. It's been a long, 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 week. We're having drinks and enjoying each other's company. And because that, this is not safe for work, we are going to stay anonymous and use pseudonyms because we love our jobs and the kids no matter how much we bitch, and we want to keep them. Teacher Needs a Drink comes out every Wednesday while school is in session. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast is also sponsored by Lud Lamb Dramatics. If you need an educational theater poster for your classroom for the theater teacher, or if you're an English teacher who's being made to do a theater play, go ahead and go to ludlamdramatics.com. That's LudlamDramatics. And if you use the code TNAD15 at checkout, that's short for Teacher Needs a Drink 15, you can get 15% off your order. If you have anything you'd like to share or comment on, you can go to our website, TeacherNeedsADrinkPodcast.com, or you can go on Instagram and Facebook. Please follow and leave us a review, subscribe, and if you can, tell one person. Guys, I know I'm rambling a little bit right now, but I'm not gonna lie. This is the second week back from winter break, and my God, I'm so fucking beat right now. I am tired. My kids, my own personal children, my God, they're kind of losing their minds a little bit. And then the kids at school are losing their minds. Luckily, the adults in my life right now are kind of sane. Priscilla is being amazing and steadfast. Things are coming together, but man, I am so beat. Here's to Friday coming up, and man, here's episode 16. Stay strong, guys. Bye.
Eyeball equivalent of flipping me off.
Love you too, baby. Mm.
Welcome to Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. I am Elvis, your host, and with me today I have the wonderful, fancy dancing Miss Bunny O'Hare.
Hey, I feel like I should do a tap dance now.
Tap, tap, tap. And across from me I have Turd Ferguson. Welcome back, Turd.
Thank you for having me.
And of course, she is a delight, Mrs. Sparkles. Welcome.
Hey, yeah, I'm not a Mrs. yet. Not till August.
This is from Reason.com. Government standards are making 5-year-olds and kindergarten teachers miserable. Increased academic pressure and testing in kindergarten is bringing everyone to tears, including the teachers. When Dr. Peter Gray wrote a piece for his Psychology Today blog about kindergarten teachers in Brookline, Massachusetts, protesting dwindling recess time and the mandated 90-minute reading and writing blocks. I had to retire in 2017 because I could not take the pressure of having to force my 5- and 6-year-old students to sit with books. No talking allowed, wrote one. I taught for 18 years, and in the last 3 years, I've heard students cry, talk, and how they didn't understand and how they hate reading time. Reading time. I've taught kindergarten for nearly 40 years. Common core expectations for kindergarten seem to have trickled down from the top, and the people who wrote it thought they could legislate quicker child development. Another teacher wrote that she was appalled to hear these words out of her mouth. We do not play in kindergarten. Do not do that again to a student building a very cool scorpion with math blocks instead of doing the assigned task.
Bullshit.
The problem is that kindergarten has been dumbed up to be first grade. That is, kids are being taught at a curriculum once reserved for older kids. This isn't making them smarter. It's just making them more miserable. You, too, would be ready to throw in the towel and perhaps a couple of stuffed animals if you were being prepped with materials like this teacher describes. Last week, I gave my 5-year-old a reading assessment that required them to infer the meaning of bifocals after hearing a 5-paragraph story about Ben Franklin with no pictures. This is the kind of madness from a kindergarten that permeates curriculum design. I'm retiring earlier than I had planned because I just can't be part of this any longer. While the teachers can quit, the students have 12 years ahead of them. Mm. Oh, gosh.
Yeah, that's...
So vote, my friends. Vote hard.
Kidding. Oh my gosh. I don't understand when in America the point came where legislators were creating what our curriculum was supposed to be. And these people who know nothing about childhood development or teaching at all, besides the fact that they went to school, tell us how to do our jobs. I remember being in kindergarten, and I was an early reader, right? Like, I'm a weirdo. I could read very, very abnormally young. I see my friends' kids who are exactly right on track. They are right on track for their age in terms of their development, but they're supposed to be reading what is essentially at a third grade level in kindergarten. And that's ridiculous. No wonder kids are burning out. Our kids are stressed. They have anxiety. They have depression. They hate school. Because when you're putting these huge expectations on these little baby shoulders, it's going to start those things so young.
Mm-hmm. It's sucking all the joy out of it. It's killing their curiosity, and it's killing their brains are designed to be curious, and we're sucking all of the joy out of that curiosity. Mm-hmm. Their little baby brains are just not ready yet. They're not getting other skills that they need, that gross motor skill, those interpersonal skills, those social skills, the things that you develop from play.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They're missing out on. So we get kids in the older grades when it trickles up, I guess, that don't know how to sit in a chair.
And I find that by the time they get to us at the kind of upper levels, I saw this in middle school and I see it now that I teach high school. For some of them, their creativity, their sense of curiosity and play is dead.
Yes. And I agree with.
Okay, the second or third year I was teaching, I was in a music classroom and we did an activity where I put a piece of music on. It was a classical music piece, Holst, maybe. It wasn't from a movie, but it had sort of a cinematic sound to it. But I told the kids, you know, that imagine if you were standing outside the movie theater and you couldn't see what was on the screen and you could just hear this music. What kind of movie do you think this would go with? Or what kind of scene would be going on? Or what kind of, you know, I wanted them to generate some ideas. Is it from this movie? Is it from this movie? No, it's not from a movie. What do you, you know, what kind of movie would you put it with if you were going to, well, what's the right... There's not a right answer. They're so conditioned to think that there's either a right or a wrong answer to something that their little minds were blown by the fact that there wasn't just one right answer to this.
I have them make a greeting card. It doesn't have to be a specific kind. It could even be a birthday card. I don't care. It could be a, hey, have a good break card, et cetera, et cetera. I got out the materials for it. Some of the kids actually looked at me and they were just like, well, is there a pattern that we had to follow? Is there a rubric that we had to follow for this? I'm just like, no, you know, just make a fucking card. And they were just like, well, but what's supposed to go in it? That's the beauty of it. You get to make it. Going to spoon feed you on something that you have to create that you are going to give to somebody else. Can I give it to a friend? Yes, you can.
There's a weird give and take that we've kind of come to where before, where if you finished a project early, you might get free time just to do, and that could even be like an extended, like not just that class period, the next class period, you might have free time while the rest of the class finishes.
Yes.
That doesn't seem to happen anymore because they don't want any kind of idle hands because God forbid what they're going to do. So you must move on to the next lesson. You must move on to the next unit or God, like you might kill the project. Oh, you're finished? Well, then you need to do this extra work on top of it.
Right.
And it's been a problem. I mean, when Sesame Street first came out in the 70s, a lot of pre-K teachers got mad. Like, well, what are we supposed to teach them now? Well, you just got to keep upping the game. Well, no, you can sit on your laurels. You can just keep practicing the information you've learned. But as a society, we really don't do that. You must keep going. You must keep earning. You must get a higher reading score. Your ELAs must be higher.
From the teacher side, when it's like, oh, your scores have to be higher and higher every year. I worked at a school that had a GT program inside of it. And so for those teachers, they got really shafted. Yeah, they always had passing scores on their kids' assessments. Those kids always passed. But if the year before that kid made a 99%, and then with you, they made a 98%, you got dinged because that kid missed one more question in a different year, in a different grade. The kid still more than passed, more than mastered. You know what I mean? They're like in the super upper echelons of the kids who passed.
Yes.
But you're a bad teacher because they missed three questions this year instead of two questions this year. I hate seeing little kids losing out on some of the things that I think we had. Yes. I remember having playtime in kindergarten.
Yeah.
Time to just go play in the house or the blocks or whatever.
I remember having playtime in second or third grade. Not like playtime, but like if you finished work, you could go. There's like an area in the back of the room where there are different books you could look at. There was like not games necessarily, but there were things you could do. If you finished, you could work on the computer and play Oregon Trail or something in the back.
Yes, Oregon Trail.
I remember.
Yeah. If you finished your work ahead of time or if you got a certain thing done, it wasn't like if you finished, well, then you got to do these other extra 10 steps or you must go into the LAB class now.
Well, my elementary school, we had weekly specials. So like every week you would go to art, music, the computer room. And so it was like one day that week where it wasn't your normal daily schedule. And we would go to the library and you would check out a book and then you would go to the computer lab and you would play Oregon Trail and die of dysentery.
All the time. Of course.
Freaking fucking dysentery. Fuck you, dysentery.
And snake bites.
Yes, snake bites.
Fucking snake bites.
Fuck you, rattlesnake. And then you would go to the music room and we would learn like music rhythms and play on the xylophones and whatever. Then we'd go to the art room and we would make something out of clay. And then we'd go back to class and like have the rest of our school day. And it was great.
From the Reddits, titled Turnabout is Fair Play. Okay, I admit, I deliberately set this up in advance. It was the first day of a 6-week course with adult students. The classroom was set up with 5 rows of 6-foot tables. Each row had 5 tables, 30 feet end to end, with 2 chairs at each table. 10 chairs per row, 40 chairs, and no chairs behind the back row. 10 to the hour, the students are arriving and grabbing chairs, filling up from the back. They always do. The ones who fight hardest for the back row are the ones who least want to be there. By the time the big hand is pointing at the 12, I have all 28 students seated with no one in the front row, as expected. What no one saw coming was when I picked up the podium, carried it to the back of the classroom, and told everyone to swing around in their seats. Instantly, the safe back row is the dreaded front row. That's better, I said, and started to teach. It was a thing of joy to see the shocked and uncomfortable faces. Yes, they stayed in the front row for the entire course.
I'm lucky to be in classrooms that don't really have the formal desk chair. What is it? The built-in seat combo where you... No, just turn your chairs this way.
One of the good things about technology is that it has freed me from having to stand in a specific place to like project notes and things like that. So I have been very blessed, and I know that I am blessed to work in a district where we had projectors with the Apple TVs. So I could just walk around with my iPad and be doing my thing. And I love it because it's true. There's no kids in the back now because I'm everywhere.
That does wonders for classroom management because you can do a lot of the nonverbals where you just stand next to someone who's being an asshat and they're like, oh.
Oh, I've done that a lot.
You can just kind of tap them on the shoulder. I'm right next to you.
There's always that class where you have lots of athletes because they all have athletics like first period or last period or whatever. And they all wind up in your class at the same time. And they all sit next to each other despite your best efforts at doing a seating chart.
Start playing football in the middle of class.
And so I would just like kind of perch myself on the edge of the table where most of the boys were and just kind of hang out there and give my note taking and whatever. And they would be quiet as little church mice doing their work because I'm right here.
Nothing brings me the amount of joy out of scaring the shit out of a student by just being somewhere they didn't expect me to be. Like, they don't think I'm in the room, like they're going to drop off or get a jacket, and I'm just standing there, and they turn and say, Oh, it makes my little black heart smile.
See, I am a not tall individual, and I pretty well blend in with my students in the hallway. Like,
that's funny as shit.
Yeah. So I can be walking along, and they'll be talking about, you know, stupid Miss O'Hare, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, what happened now? And they're like, nothing. Or they're cussing, or they're talking shit about one of the coaches or something. I'm like, oh, what was that? I didn't catch that. Like, what? yeah, that's what I thought.
People always think I'm a kid because I carry myself in a backpack. It's just because it's convenient. It's easy to carry your laptop and whatever in a backpack as opposed to like a briefcase or whatever. So
more,
like
more ergonomic than, you know, the shoulder bag or whatever.
So I have definitely been stopped by security where I work. And they'll be like, excuse me, young lady, where do you think you're going? And I'm like,
to my class.
To work? I work here? And they're like, oh, it's you. And I'm like, yes. Yeah. Oh, I thought you were one of the kids. I'm just wearing a backpack. I'm not suddenly looking like I'm 15.
The badge says faculty. Yes.
This is from Reddit. Took the blame for a student's fart today. Okay, so we had a lockdown today. Nothing super scary, just a domestic dispute ending with a man walking away with a serrated bread knife. Yeah, not what scary. Not scary
nothing
at all.
Scary at a, no.
That's not scary.
Yeah.
Day in paradise.
Run over the mill.
You got to live small town. You've got to love. I'm sure there's much to say love. You've got to love small town life. While standing before my door, waiting for the all clear, everyone is dead silent. An unmistakable sound comes from right next to me. A high-pitched squeak of a fart went. The girl next to me turned bright red. Kids started to giggle, so I said, sorry, nervous stomach. They laughed as quietly as possible. When we came out of lockdown, I apologized for what I dubbed the fear fart.
Nice.
And we finished talking about Helen Keller.
She wouldn't have heard it anyway.
She wouldn't have heard it, but she
never saw it coming.
Oh. Oh.
Dear listeners.
Dear listener.
Too soon.
The kid who did it looked so relieved, could not look me in the eye. I did my good deed for the day. Edit. Thank you for the silver. I really think we needed a good laugh today.
Aww.
That's hilarious.
The fear fart.
It's, yeah. You know,
it makes it better that she was talking about Helen Keller, though.
I'm not, I know. I don't know why it makes it better, but it does. It really does.
I don't know why.
The thing with, I'm not a person who finds farting to be amusing in the same way that other human beings do.
That might have been why I chose her to read it.
Maybe.
Because I think she's judging us.
I am not judging you at all because this story was hilarious. But like when I'm watching a movie and they do like fart humor, I'm like, yeah, okay, that was funny. So I don't get it when the kids like come unglued with somebody farts. I'm like, you all fart. Who cares? And they're like, Miss Sparkles. I almost revealed my secret identity.
Oh, no.
A single initial. They're like, Miss Sparkles, farting is hilarious. And I'm like, is it? But I think with Helen Keller, that makes it even funnier.
From the Reddits, once again, just wanted to share a rare, sweet high school moment. Everyone has that one class, the one that you dread all day long. The one you cry about in the shower, the one that makes you question all your life choices. They care about absolutely nothing but Snapchat. Their complete lack of empathy and full-blown narcissistic qualities truly terrifies me sometimes. When that class leaves me for the day, I feel like the worst teacher in the world. One of the students from my one class came to see me early in the morning. He sat next to me and didn't say anything. Already annoyed by his presence, I asked him what was wrong. He told me that he just got a phone call from his father. His cat was hit by a car. I was instantly upset with myself for being annoyed. He started talking about how he found this cat in the street when it was a baby and how it was a survivor like him. He said that this cat provided him comfort and joy in a mostly shitty life situation. He began to cry, and as I hugged him, I started crying too. It felt good to be needed. It felt good that I was considered a safe space to share his feelings. Maybe I'm not the worst teacher in the world. And who knew teenagers had feelings about cats?
Oh.
I'm still dreading that class tomorrow, though.
I think it was my first or second year of teaching that one of the older teachers was like, every year you're going to have one class period that you just can't stand.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to love the rest. And there's going to be one period every day that for some reason, that mix of people makes it the worst class.
Yep.
And that has proven to be the case. It's, as hard as I try to love them all, it can be hard to like everyone, even those kids who you sometimes cannot stand, can really surprise you.
Kids act out in whatever their safest space is.
That's true.
Because they know that they're still going to be loved or accepted or whatever. Like my sister was a wonderful child when she was at school. All of her teachers loved her, but she was a Heldian at home. Like she took everything out on my mom and dad when she got home. It was a safe space. She knew that whatever she said or did, my parents were still going to love her. And so the kids that are acting out at school, it's because they don't have that safe place at home.
Mm-hmm.
So deep down, it sounds like this kiddo knew that, you know, even if they were a kid that sometimes makes unacceptable choices in the classroom, maybe that's because they knew or recognized on whatever level that the teacher was
still
there for them, was still going to care.
Yeah, that I never really put that into context. But when I'm thinking back to my asshole days as a high school student, In the classes that I hated the most, or the teacher and I did not get along, I was usually very quiet and just sat in the back and read a book. And the mm-hmm. classes where I had a teacher that loved me and that was sweet, I generally pushed the envelope and was a bit of a dick. So, yeah, I can see that. And so now I'm going to call Mr. Smith and apologize. And say, I'm sorry, Larry. I'm sorry, man.
And it's another one of those moments, like, when you find out, you know, something about a student's life, you're like, oh, that explains quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that explains why they have, you know, issues with authority figures, or that explains why they don't like being cornered, or that explains why, you know, when you find out something, it gives you a different perspective. And maybe that doesn't, you know, you can't necessarily let that change your behavior expectations all the time, but it affects the way that you address that student.
Right.
It's time for Just the Tip.
Just the Tip.
Just the Tip.
All right, so share with us a teacher tip or two. What do you have in there?
Well, for all you early morning people, these tips are for you. So, they say that early morning at school is simply magical, that there are fewer teachers for you to chat with, and the copier is actually free at that point in time, and your energy might be high, so go in a little bit early as opposed to waiting to the last minute at the last day and spending 20 minutes that you're already tired at. I think this one's actually a little bit more common sense, but always make friends with your janitors and custodians.
Yes.
So I think that's just common sense, but, you know, there it is.
Make friends with the custodians and with the school secretary.
Yes.
Front office needs to be your friends. Even if they hate you, do whatever you can to win them over.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I actually take like 5 minutes out of my day to go check in, talk to the secretaries just to say, hey, how's it going and everything else, as opposed to just walking in there and just being like, hey, I need this done.
Thank you, school secretaries, for being awesome and doing so many things for us. Like, people don't realize how much work those people have to do.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, and they get paid worse than we do.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yep. I mean, sometimes they even find subs for us. They're awesome.
Oh my gosh. Our secretary, who was in charge of subs the last week of school, knew that I had so much stuff on my plate. A bunch of craziness had happened. I needed to like focus in on a project I'm doing for the kids that's coming up next month. And she found me a sub every day for the first half of the day, the last week before break.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful.
I don't know how she did it. She is like a magician, but bless her. That was magic. I'm convinced she's a witch.
In a good way, of course.
Yes, in a good way. She's a good witch. She's like Glinda. She's like Glinda.
Oh, you're a good witch.
Not the other one.
Elphaba.
All right, my friends. Well, thank you for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Ms. Bunny O'Hare, thank you for being here.
A pleasure as always, Elvis.
Mr. Turd Ferguson, wonderful. I enjoyed you inserting your tip.
Yes, I bet you did.
Just the tip.
And Miss Sparkles, it was wonderful having you here.
It's always a delight.
All right, cheers, everybody.
Cheers.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast comes out every Wednesday while school's in session. If you can, find one person in your building to tell about Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast and spread the word so we can keep growing. I'd like to thank my guest, Bunny O'Hare, Miss Sparkles, and... oh my god, I almost called her Miss Sprinkles. She would have been pissed. Oh yeah, and Mr. Turd Ferguson, who came back to join us. If you'd like to, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. It's Teacher Needs a Drink Podcast. And of course, TeacherNeedsADrinkPodcast.com. We are sponsored by Ludlam Dramatics Educational Theater Posters. One more shout to them. They are awesome. That's LudlamDramatics.com. Please follow, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. And guys, stay strong, stay healthy, and get sleep when you can. Bye.
No. Y'all, Elvis is so weird. I wish you all could know exactly how weird Elvis is.
Just the tip.
What?
Just the tip.
What?
Just the tip. What? Just the tip. What? Just the tip. What? Just the tip. What? Just the tip. What? Just the tip. What?